All right, good afternoon and welcome to our Tag Talks episode 11. I'm Brigadier General Greg Johnson, Tag 63, the Adjutant General of the Army. And today we're going to talk a little bit about officer promotions. I got two fantastic teammates with me today, one from the DA Secretariat, so soon to be Colonel Mike Miller. And then we also, on the officer promotion side, the lead really of our team that does all things transactional on promotions and all the hard thinking on promotions, Brian Johnston. So, hey guys, thanks for being here today with us.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, team.
Good to have you. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll jump into it.
Yes, sir. I'm Mike Miller, currently serving as the Chief of the DA Secretariat. Been there since the summer of 2022. Look forward to the discussion, sir. There down in the Secretariat, we execute boards, QA, QC populations, and often are a part of some emerging initiatives here in HRC. So look forward to discussing with the team.
Yeah, there's always something going on in the DA Sec, and it's kind of the intersection of, hey, we get policy from the Pentagon, right? And then you're the one helping to execute it with the team, you know, the actual promotion boards, policy boards, evaluation boards for the Army. So it's a pretty big, important job, definitely an important job for our Corps and our HR folks. Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, good morning, sir. Major Brian Johnston. So I'm currently the Chief of Officer Promotions. Took the position last June. So really what Officer Promotions does is we're heavy in the pre and post board portion of the promotion board process. So we're responsible for receiving those zones of consideration from the MPM G1, and based on those zones, building those eligibility rosters, based on guidance and criteria outlined in the guidance from DMPM G1. So we'll build those eligibility rosters, scrub them, make sure they're accurate. We bump them off of career managers, and then once we're comfortable with those products, we'll hand those over to the DA Secretariat to conduct those boards. Once those boards have recessed, sir, we take the post-board products, we submit those up to DMPM for final staffing and approval. And then also, when we get those approved rosters back, we're the office that is responsible for actually generating those promotion orders. So a lot with the pre and post-board actions with the promotion board processor.
Yeah, there's always a lot going on. Brian, maybe talk just a little bit about the duality of the promotion, officer promotion system, right? You got some junior promotions that are done one way, and then yes, you know, kind of as you get to captain and above, it's done another way.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Great question. So there are a couple different processes depending on the population that we're looking at. So for your decentralized promotions, those are your second lieutenants to first lieutenants, your WO1s to CW2. Those promotions are based solely on really your time and grade, time and service. There's a lot of different rules that we have to look into depending on how the officer was commissioned. If you're a warrant officer, if you're tech or an aviator, all of those play into different promotion rules that will generate those promotions. This is a relatively automatic process, as IPSA will take certain dates and do the transaction internally and produce those promotion orders. There's also your promotions from first lieutenant to captain, which is a fully qualified certification process. It doesn't necessarily go before a promotion selection board. What happens is we'll build the eligibility rosters, provide it to the DA Sec. DA Sec will provide it to the career managers, and they do a DROG screen to identify any derogatory adverse information in those officers' files. Once we identify the DROG, that roster will come back to us, and then we would process as we would for a PSB. And then you have your centralized promotions, which is your major up through colonel, which actually constitutes the voting members of a promotion selection board. So a couple different processes depending on the population that you're in. So,
yeah. No, thanks for laying that out. I think for the listeners, I mean, these are two like pretty important jobs and roles. I mean, you know, we're kind of orchestrating the execution of promotions across the board for the Army. So you guys got heavy responsibility sitting on your shoulders to do that, you know, the best way we can, you know, as accurately as possible and then as timely as possible. I don't know, maybe a little bit of stress for you guys, huh? I know we get a lot of love and calls and, you know, asks for help and all that kind of stuff. So maybe can you talk a little bit about a few of the issues you've seen? And then we can go from there. I'm gonna ask you about data in a minute, so I know that's a little bit of the issues that you do. But Brian, maybe you start, and then Mike, you jump in.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. if you don't mind. Data is the first thing that came to mind when you asked the question. It's really, you know, and we communicate this often to the field, it's making sure your data in IPSA is accurate now. Not waiting till your My Board File notification is sent to you, but making sure you're looking at your data in IPSA now to make sure that they're correct. Because most boards, we're pulling eligibility rosters 120 days before convene date. So what I would suggest to the listeners listening, that there's really four key data points that you all need to be looking at to make sure that you're pulled into the correct board, the correct zone, and the correct category. And that's your date of rank to your current grade, your current branch, your MOS, and your MRD date, your mandatory removal date. Because all of that data, when we're building boards and typing in the eligibility criteria in OSSS, that's the information that we're putting in there and asking the system to look for. So if your date of rank is incorrect or your MRD is incorrect, you run the risk of not pulling into the population and then us having to troubleshoot later once you identify that. So right now, sir, those are really the key issues we see in officer promotions. We catch a lot. We do a lot of mitigating measures internal to HRC. We bump every roster off every career manager who has a very good knowledge of their population. And we're able to catch a lot of these things before the board actually goes into session. So, but there's still discrepancies out there. So yeah. I would urge listeners just, you know, check yourself, make sure you're pushing this information to your populations, and check your dates.
Yeah, well, I think part of this is like, hey, okay, so officers, hey, take a look at this stuff, mm-hmm. right? You know, there is some responsibility for individuals to look at their own stuff.
Right.
You know, while at the same time, you know, I'm asking S1s out there, hey, also care, right? Hey, also look at this data.
Right.
That's part of that HR job out in the unit to ensure that, hey, stuff is accurate in folks' records. I mean, that's why we do these personnel record reviews. This is why we do data correctness things. It's why we also do things like PAIs and other things to make sure that, hey, the records and the accountability, et cetera, is all accurate. I know, Brian, you know, I also put a tremendous amount of pressure on you guys because it's like, hey, we know some of this data is not necessarily coming over clean into IPSA from the accessioning sources,
yes,
right? And this
yes,
is
sir.
From all over the place, right? You got Cadet Command, you got USIMA, you got direct commissionees, you got warrant officer flips, you got all kinds of stuff going on in the Army. You know, maybe talk a little bit about where you're going there. I know we're on a good path to really setting some good, you know, checks and fail safes and, you know, what I call the triple check, right? Hey,
right,
someone
right.
triple checking this to make sure we're good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that. Maybe.
So to address the kind of the accessions piece, you know, we've been doing a lot of touch points with the Academy, with West Point, with Cadet Command, with accessions branch here at HRC, and identified some data transmission issues essentially between what the schoolhouses are using for their systems of record and IPSA. So, you know, we'll see CSIMS for Cadet Command. You know, they're inputting the information. It's just not transferring correctly to IPSA. So there's a couple engineer change requests currently with FMD that's being worked that will clean this information up. Because as you know, the scrolling procedure is really where we see some issues there too, because we have to scroll lieutenants and W01 6 months before their projected promotion date. And if the data in IPSA is incorrect and they're newly assessed into the system, you know, oftentimes there's blank data, there's incorrect data, and we miss them on a scroll. So I think these touch points with these agencies are gonna be tremendously beneficial. We've already identified really where the root cause is, and we have a way forward to correct them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, I'm thinking through a couple of things. Hey, if you're an HR professional, hey, this is kind of in real time action, hey, why you should care about data.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people get confused at times, like when I'm talking data, it's like, hey, I don't need you to code, I don't need 100% of you guys to code Python. No,
right.
Like, but you need to understand, hey, here's four data elements that actually matter for the promotion of someone in our Army. And you need to know that and actually care about it and then figure out how to review that in the line of your job, wherever you're at.
Yeah.
In this case, too, it's like, hey, okay, if you're in USIMA or if you're in Cadet Command and you're in the G1 in those sections, you should probably care what kind of data is coming in the system that's then being fed over to HRC, because that's a your problem as well as my problem in promotions. And we all got to care. We all got to be professional, and we all got to like radically have some passion here, because it's about taking care of people.
Right.
You know, it's about promoting people at the right time. It's about doing the right thing. It's about getting them the pay that they deserve at the right time. And all that doesn't happen if we kind of mess the data up, right? So I appreciate you attacking it, you know, the team attacking it, and then, you know, also just taking, you know, you guys have taken some heat rounds over the last year, just as we brought IPSE on and as we've kind of worked through some of the connections of data flow, right? Because not everything's in IPSE. It's coming from different places.
Yes, sir.
So it's a lot of work, but no, I appreciate that and appreciate you attacking it. You know, Mike, talk a little bit about the board, because yes, there's data stuff over there too, right? As we prep and execute boards.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So as Major Johnston mentioned, simple data elements is what he's using to define the eligible population of a board. We're looking at those same data elements down in our area as well, because as the field probably knows, you know, those dates of rank to determine the eligible population that come out in the MLPR are not clean cut every year. They can vary depending on if the service is trying to accelerate promotions or slow promotions down. So just because we shouldn't assume that a person in the following year group are the folks that are going to be in the zone with no questions asked. Those zones of consideration can change. So as we're going through those boards, a number of things can pop up on our radar of concern, sir. So we are double checking those dates of rank against zones of consideration. We are checking to ensure all opt-outs have been processed. We ensure that anybody who is pending a separation is either considered or not considered appropriately for the board. And as you mentioned, sir, the G1s and S1s out in the field absolutely play a part in this process. So promotions is defining an eligible population. And as that roster is loaded, those individuals should be receiving a message that their My Board file is coming open. So that's on the service member, either receiving a message or not. But that doesn't mean that all those who should be considered are aware, right? So when we go back to the G1s and S1s and the role they can play, they can go onto the HRC website, and there is a board certification roster that they can pull by UIC. I would argue that that product may not be 100% as well. So as professionals, AG professionals out in the field, I would argue that to perform your duties responsibly, you should have a standing roster of who's in your unit. You should know what their dates of rank are, when they should be considered for boards. And if they need products to help support them on that mission, we can provide that. You know, whether it be the year group waterfall chart or, you know, career timelines of when they're being considered for each board. But they should be taking their own personal roster and tracker of individuals' information and bumping it against that board certification roster coming off the HRC website, because one could argue there's a discrepancy on either side, right? So if there is a discrepancy, we welcome folks to reach out to us and see why there's a discrepancy and write that inaccuracy, just so everybody is tracking the rationale for somebody being boarded that year, or you know, being updated on when their next opportunity will be, sir.
Yeah, and career managers at HRC are also doing that process for you, right?
Yes, sir.
I think what you highlight for G1s and S1s out there is like, hey, there's your triple check, right? You know, you got the promotions team kind of doing a check, your team tied with career managers doing what we call a board bump as well, right? Trying to ensure we got all the right people that are eligible that go into the board so we don't have an issue. But I think it's a good point, you know, this is one of those back to the basics. Like if you go back 15 years and you're in a G1, this is one of your, like, you know, one of your defining things you were doing all the time out of your strength management cell or team. You know, you're doing these board bumps and check-in based on the dates of rank. I know I had a wonderful CW5 that, she was a 4 at the time, but would always do this for me in one ID. You know, I was lucky because she was like, I don't know, all over the data and all over the analysis. Right. And, you know, I kind of just sat back and was briefed on it. So I was lucky. But I appreciate you kind of talking about it. Again, back to the data rank and seeing that and why data matters. You know, hey, it's not rocket science, but it's like, hey, checking dates of rank against those eligible populations identified in the MLPRS. It's a moving target, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the same every year. So you really got to take a look at some of those details in those MLPRS, you know, as they come out. And then to your point, Mike, too, you're also publishing kind of the board schedule. So we kind of know when boards are going to happen. And, you know, while they're not exactly the same dates every year, they're pretty close generally, right? You know, when we're doing them. So you should know, hey, I'm doing the majors board roughly, you know, hey, this month. You know, or I'm doing the lieutenant colonel board roughly this month, or the sergeant first class evaluation board this month. It allows an S1 or a G1 to kind of plan out, okay, I should be doing a scrub. You know, maybe 60 days before that.
Yes, sir.
And then, you know, if you're really doing the PhD work, you're probably checking that My Board File certification, like you said. Yes, okay, sir. I got mm-hmm. people to review it. Because I think we're probably sitting at, what, 50%?
Yes, sir. I'd say board certification sits around 50%, depending on the board. You know, it's plus or minus that. The fiscal year 24 board schedule is out there on the HRC website. If you do a search for that, a link will easily pop up on that one. And then here in the springtime, you can expect us to put the 25 schedule out there as well. In addition to just, you know, taking care of your roles and responsibilities as an S1 or a G1, it also wins hearts and minds there within the unit if you're walking around taking care of people and making sure they're prepped for their boards.
Yeah, and you're getting ahead of it versus, you know, maybe fixing an issue at the back end. No, I appreciate that. You're doing another product kind of post-board, right, on where stuff's at, right? Both your teams are kind of posting that on social media. Hey, here's where things are at, you know, how long it takes, you know.
Right, yes, sir.
You know, I don't know what you call that product, but it's pretty dang good.
Yeah, that's our... that's our Quick Facts product, I believe, is what you're referring to. We started doing that 2-3 months ago in support of the promotion Stratcom. A huge amount of positive feedback. So what we're doing, and for the listeners that don't know what it is, it's key dates associated with every promotion selection board where their MLPR has been published. So it's got when evals need to be submitted, letters to the board president, when you have to have IPERMS corrections uploaded, your zones, convene, recess, my board file, close dates, and then what we added to it, which I think is something that's been received really well, is that projected release window. Because oftentimes when I first took the seat, you know, we were just getting bombarded with, when's this board coming out? When's this board coming out? And I was like, you know, it's still with SecDef. We anticipate this time, but, you know, it can't slap the table on it.
Yeah.
So what we did is we just arranged, and based on historical board results, we typically see board results between recess plus 120 to recess plus 180. Typically, we'll see them closer to the 120 mark, but depending on the type of board, policy, statute, and how many, you know, adverse hits there are post-board screening, it could delay results. That doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with the board. It's just taking longer to process. So that's been, I think, extremely helpful with communicating to the field. It's kind of reduced the number of RFIs we've been getting as far as release windows and release times. Them knowing that, hey, this... I'm well within this range. You know, it's not time to really go start worrying yet.
Yeah. No. I appreciate you guys kind of putting it together and then sharing it. So, like, you know, for the listeners, you can find it on the My Board File mm-hmm. Facebook page, right?
It's on Tag D, and we also post it to S1Net.
Yeah. So it's out there, and then I know I periodically send it out on a Tag Sense too. So you know, it's coming out multiple. Directions, and again, it's just right, a little bit of transparency, and
absolutely,
you know, you can help yourself by just kind of watching what that info on that sheet, that quick fact sheet says.
Yes, yes, sir.
So good deal. Okay, you guys are doing a lot of LPDs. I definitely have asked you to up the number, and you guys have delivered, I think, over the last, year. I don't know. It seems like 25-ish at least, just on what you guys do day in and day out. So, Mike, just talk a little bit about what you're focusing in on LPDs and, maybe what's the craziest questions you get, coming out of those.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you highlighting that. Especially with the workload we have here at the Secretariat, we've tried to minimize the number of opportunities that we cater to as folks visit HRC and are just looking for a drive-by for a quick discussion. What we have tried to refocus our efforts on, just so that there's more bang for the buck, and as questions are received, others out in the force get the benefit from those interactions. The first Thursday of every month at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we conduct an LPD in conjunction with Promotions Branch. Topic varies from month to month. This week here in March, we did one on enlisted eval boards, but it does roam around. Sometimes we'll discuss adverse, sometimes it'll be warrant officer focused. That way, we're kind of spreading the wealth there as well. We do LPDs out to the field, but our intent there is to ensure they are a conference-like gathering, just so more folks can benefit from those opportunities, sir.
Yeah, but they've been tremendous. I mean, you probably have had, I don't know, my count, a couple thousand plugging into this stuff.
Yes, sir. I think we shut down Teams one day.
So yeah, you destroyed it. Yeah,
we
just
had
blew
many people
up.
On. They couldn't support. That was a good one.
That wasn't the faulty pipes either, right? Coming in, it was too many people.
Yeah, and of note, just to dovetail off that, all those LPDs, those town halls are recorded, and they're all posted on MillSuite, MillTube, and Mr. Diller does a great job getting that information out. So non CAC enabled. Websites where anyone can go in there and actually view them.
And important for G1s, right? So if they're running their own HR university, which I think most are out there in the Army, hey, here's an easy way that you can kind of plug in and pull it in and then use it. I remember as a lieutenant getting a brief, I think from the DA Sec, I can't remember who it was, but, going, wow, that's how the board process works. That's how that's executed. And it's just helpful to understand, hey, this is how our system works and goes. What do you think the biggest friction running boards right now is, or biggest thing that we probably got to level set with the field, Mike?
So a few things to put out there, and we do normally discuss these things when we're going around doing our LPDs. The first being, questions or concerns about record briefs being shown to the boards. So there are a lot of myths out there. People believe in that, especially as we talk about IPSA data, making sure that's correct. But people are attributing that to use of the STP at those centralized boards. That is not the case. We are not using the STP at boards for a number of reasons. Simply being that there are a number of data points on that document that by policy we will never show to voting members. So to kind of clear the air on that one, we are using IPSA data to populate what most people refer to as a record brief, which used to be housed in TOPMIS. But since TOPMIS no longer exists, we are using IPSA data to populate a format that looks very similar to that legacy record brief. That record brief exists nowhere but in a service member's My Board file. So once that board has recessed, that document will no longer exist until the next time an individual is up to be considered for a board. Service members can see that record brief within their My Board file. If they have concerns, they can reach out to us, they can reach out to promotions, They can refer to the MLPR, and there's guidance in each MLPR on how to submit concerns to the board if there's drastic discrepancies on that document. Some other things that we hear out in the field, and I'll hit on these real quick, sir, but just to give you an opportunity to, if there's any others that you've heard, many folks will say that they think boards only consider their last 3 to 5 evals. That's definitely not the case. They have an opportunity to look at your entire record, what an individual voter may focus on may vary, and it's up to that individual, but those voters are not limited to only view certain documents. Another concern we hear out in the field, and it's just the force trying to put their best foot forward, is that there's concern that their file is only viewed for like 20 seconds. That's definitely not the case either. I would say every file at least gets a couple minutes of review, and typically boards start at 8 or 9 in the morning, and we give those voting members a limit on the number of files they should be voting, just so they aren't fatigued and give each record the appropriate time and focus. But the folks down in the DA Secretariat, the recorders that are running those boards, typically are here late into the night, and we are giving those voting members as much opportunity as they need to ensure they've given each record the proper attention.
Yeah, I mean, something like the majors board, I mean, right, that's a couple of weeks in length.
Yes, sir.
And you know, you'll see people many times in those boards, especially where there's a larger population, folks are working over the weekends.
Absolutely.
As they knock those out. Yeah, I can attest. I've certainly sat several boards even this last couple of years. Definitely looked at more than 3 OERs in all of those boards. I think this is why the LPDs are important too, Mike, right?
Yes, sir.
So it's like to explain to folks, hey, this is the setup. This is how a board member will sit and review a file and how the file is displayed. You can gather quite a bit of information pretty quickly. And then once you get comfortable with the board system, like if you've done a board before or you're in the middle of a board, you get pretty situated, and you can look at I think more information quicker as well. So I definitely think it's a pretty dang solid process that affords people a very equitable shot at promotion. And I think our kind of history here kind of plays it out. But we're talking LPDs. You talked a little bit about data and issues. What else would you tell an HR person to focus on?
So a few additional points, sir. I'm glad you asked. So we have talked about data, but we haven't really addressed how to fix it. I want to make sure that the field kind of knows what steps need to take place. If you do see a date of rank that's incorrect or a seniority date or anything in your file that your local S1 cannot update, that needs to be elevated through your HR professional as a PAR to your career manager, so they can update. If they don't have the capability, which they don't have, they can't update everything. They know where to send that PAR. They'll turn that into a CRM and push that to customer solutions branch, so we can get that data field updated for you. Reach out to your HR professional. And then if there's any questions as far as how to update data, reach out to your career manager. You can reach out to Officer Promotions. We'll do everything we can to assist. Additionally, kind of circling back to what we were talking about is what HR professionals can do to assist with identifying board populations. There's a pretty powerful tool in IPSE that I use often. It's a BI query tool. If you're not familiar with that, if you're an HR pro, it's on your home page. But based on those zones that you see in those MLPR messages and your population, you can easily query that population based on those zones of consideration. There's a ton of filter options. I think there's over 4,000 different data points in BI that IPSE will pull for you if you ask it to. So take advantage of that product. I have a pretty detailed product that lays out step-by-step how to do this. I've provided it to the career managers for both the AC and the RC and the National Guard. But I can post that probably with this message if that's how this works, and we can get that information out to you, because there's capability in there where you can grab a list of Ample IDs, DoD IDs, and you can put that into a data field, and it will pull information just for the population that you put into that filter. So it's a powerful tool. We use it up here at HRC all the time when we're querying and scrubbing board rosters. So I just wanted to make sure that was known to the listeners here that is available.
Yeah, and what we can do too in the next tag sense, you know, let's put a couple of sentences together and we can tie that link in. The other thing that pops to my mind when you're thinking about the record brief looking as good as it can, right? You know, there's a little bit of noise, right, with kind of the duty title, and how do you update duty titles? I know we have a pretty decent LPD user guide kit, you know, on that, so we can put that in the next tag sense and get it out to folks again. There's a little bit of a trick with the Army org server and your current, you know, duty title. That's also in that packet that explains kind of what we can do, what we can't do. Mike?
Yeah, sir, just since you bring it up, I think it's a good opportunity to share with the force that we are speaking to all voting members that are sitting boards that, you know, we are having challenges with that product because it's being created just by crosswalking data elements. You know, it is not a source document. We are sharing that it's a guide rail to someone's record, that service members shouldn't be held accountable for discrepancies on that document. And ultimately, if there is a voter that's concerned about where an individual served or what duty position they served in, they always can go back and pull that eval to see the appropriate duty title on that document. And so, just want the force to be aware you shouldn't lose sleep over any discrepancies of that are found on that record brief in your My Board file.
Yeah, no, it's a good point to underline. I mean, I know we're talking at every single board, and then, right, the officer does have that opportunity to do a board memo if they feel, like, strongly that they got to explain something. So, again, sitting several boards this last year, you know, you see all that. I'm so intimately close, though. I'm like, hey, I understand, right? You know, so you're looking at evals, you're looking at other things. And in general, too, I would say, you know, those record briefs didn't, you know, look bad at scale.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, at scale, they seemed pretty accurate. You know, every once in a while, there'd be some oddities. You know, specifically, I saw, again, just personal experience, you know, hey, if you were in the reserves and you came over to active, maybe there's a little bit more noise on that record brief. But easily explainable. And then if the officer wants to, you can put that memo in. Okay, I know we're getting towards time. Way ahead, what are we doing, Mike, in the boardroom way ahead? I know there's a couple of big things kind of brewing that you're working on personally as well as a bunch of other folks.
Yes, sir. Obviously, as mentioned, the bandwidth and the number of boards we're running each year is a significant workload. Be on the lookout that we are trying to combine policy boards and statutory boards to make use of voting members' time. This past year, we shifted from a CSL board to the JPPs. Additionally, we've gone back to voting the entire below the zone population. So that makes a difference. Everybody is getting a shot at it, regardless if they opt in or opt out. That option is no longer there. And I guess we're streamlining efforts on those policy and statutory boards where there's more consistent voting. We're conducting a number of pilots in conjunction with boards to look at voting behavior. And ultimately, sir, we're going to be changing the system on which voters are casting their votes. So all those efforts will have the promotion process, or at least the selection process, looking significantly different over the next year, sir.
That's a lot for, I mean, if you're listening, I know Mike said it very coolly and calmly, but that's a lot of work and a lot of thinking and a lot of under the water, effort to kind of work through all of those. For me as the TAG, it's I've been lucky, Mike, Brian, you guys have come in and really looked at the process that we're executing and have identified areas that, hey, we think we can get better, we think we can get more efficient, hey, we think we can do this talent management stuff maybe a little better, and you've kind of moved on it. And, for the listener, especially if you're in the AG Corps, hey, as you get older, right, as you become that lieutenant colonel or you own this big process or you become the colonel, that's what we need you to do. We need you to take a look and better what's around you in order to take care of people and to make the Army better. Mike, you've been doing a fantastic job this last couple of years doing this. Makes my job easy. I just kind of get to come down and ask you how you're doing, as you're pushing everything. But I think that's key for listeners. It's like, hey, that's what we need you to do as you get into these jobs. You're not just here to push the legacy process and call it a night. No, it's... Mm-hmm. We got to get better for a whole lot of reasons, so we can make the Army better. Brian, what you guys working on?
Yeah, yes, sir. So Colonel Miller mentioned it, but the new method of voting is also going to affect officer promotions and how we build eligibility rosters. It's a new system, so we're spending a lot of time with the developers and testing and making sure that the system is built in a way to where we are capturing all the necessary information to pull in the right populations. There's a lot more flexibility. The system updates in real time. It's going to notify us, hey, somebody's MRD just changed, and put them and mark them as eligible, and that will pop up on our roster. So it's really going to streamline this process for us. So we're excited about the new program, and we're working hard with the development team to make sure that it's right. As you mentioned, as we identify issues, whether it's data transmission, whether it's user input, we can't just sit back and let it continue to happen. So being proactive, getting the right agencies involved so we can correct it and prevent it from happening further, that's been a huge, huge muscle movement for us since I took the position. And then also just being more nested. I think we've probably been more nested with TAD and the career managers and USARC and their career managers more now than ever before. We're working with them every day. We're sharing rosters with them early. They're communicating with us back early. We're not waiting just to board bump. Once that roster's built, it's available to the career managers to look at. So they can start identifying, hey, can you check this officer? I think he's in the wrong zone. Or this officer's MOS just changed, they may have V-tipped, we need to move them into ops from FS or something like that.
Yeah.
And the communication's there, and we're moving forward, and we're correcting stuff as we find it. So until the new system is online, that's how we're gonna continue to move forward. And FMD, the IPSA development team, they don't know there's a problem unless we say something. So
absolutely.
That's something I've taken very seriously, and as we identify issues, in new systems, we elevate it and they fix it. So, yeah. I mean, that's the way forward.
I think you hit it on, and Mike, you do this well too, as you've pulled everybody into this board process, right? It's connecting all these other organizations and teams, and it's, you two gentlemen's skill, right? That's got us into a much better spot, right? Because that's hard work, right? When you got to go across, in the case of TAD, how many branches are there? How many teams are there? There's scores of teams, and you're bringing them to the table to help, make this process better. And so that takes some real skill. For our AG folks, hey, it's great to be in these hard jobs, right? But it's even greater when you're able to use your skill to make this better for the officers and soldiers that are involved in it. So, kudos to you. I think we're in a much better spot. Obviously we got work to do. you know, your standard is like, hey, no misses.
Yeah.
Right. But this is hard, right?
Miss a promotion. You know, I'm not sleeping.
Right.
Yeah, you know, take it seriously.
We do not want any second lieutenants to miss their first lieutenant promotion. Right. You know, as we you know, took some heat rounds this year.
Yes, sir.
But you know, hey, you guys are going after it. I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate you guys being here today. So that's going to wrap it up on officer promotions today. Hey, this is Tag 638. Watch us on social media. We're on all forums, Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. And then the My Board File is just a fantastic Facebook page to see information and see links and see advertisements for LPDs. Appreciate all listening, and see you next time.